Hey everybody, this is Dee here. I just wanted to let you know that this podcast was actually recorded on June 23rd and is late because of my laziness. I hope you enjoy the episode, and we hope to be back on a regular schedule soon. Thanks.
And recording.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the 8-Bit Soul Podcast. I am your host, Armando Testani, and joining me this fine evening is Dee Marchioni. Say hello, Dee.
Hello, hello.
We're back 2 weeks in a row. Can you believe that?
Personal best.
Yes, personal best. we're back. Hope you enjoyed our E3 episode. If you didn't, well, that's your problem, not ours. And let's talk about other stuff today. We're going to, you know, mix it up. It's not going to be an all video game episode. So, but we're going to start with video games. Dee, let's start with you. What did you want to discuss?
I think the biggest thing on my mind lately and the thing I've been discussing with friends the most is about the Microsoft presentation where they started off telling us about the Xbox S and then ended with Project Scorpio, but gave us a release date of 2017. So
holiday 2017.
Holiday 2017.
Year and a half away.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Basically, everybody's impression is kind of like, why? Why is this console cycle so short? Also, with the whole Xbox Anywhere, why buy a console again?
Because people still like consoles and the uniformity that comes with a console. Mm-hmm. So you're not like, oh, shit, my video card is outdated. I need to get a new video card to play this game. Stuff like that. And I think a big thing is the Xbox Live ecosystem, which is really well built. And it puts everything in that ecosystem. It's just everything's at the fingertips of people instead of building a PC. When people think of gaming on their couch in front of their 55-inch TV, they don't think of hooking a PC up. Mm-hmm. The majority of people don't think that way.
Right.
They think, I'm going to hook up a gaming console, an Xbox or a PlayStation, and I'm going to hook that up, and that takes care of everything I need. All I do is hook it to the TV, press power, and I can play video games. It's less complicated for the masses than a PC is. It's less complicated to manage for the masses than a PC is. I'm not saying the PC is not the way to go. What I'm saying is people like the simplicity of it. That's why there's a console. And they released the S because it's a newer console. They want to get it out there as soon as possible. It's still an Xbox 360, but it's a little Xbox One, but it's still beefed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. All the games are still going to play on it. And now they announced Project Scorpio because that's something for the future. I think Scorpio is going to be something that when they announce it, I think it's going to be more than just a console. I think it's going to be something that quite possibly in the future you could have upgrades to. So you're not buying a new console every X amount of years. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to be like, okay, there's an update if you want to purchase X and X for your Scorpio or whatever they're going to call it when it's finally released. You can do this and it'll be a more powerful machine, kind of like a PC, but it'll still be a console. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
You're not going to need a keyboard. You're not going to need a mouse. You're not going to need a monitor. It's still going to be hooked up to your TV, but it's a more powerful console. And let's be honest, long console lives, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for the gaming companies because PCs started to surpass console games because of the customability, how you can customize a PC where you couldn't with a console. You're going to see a lot shorter lifespans for consoles going forward because the technology is just rapidly expanding and it's including more things because you see they're making a big push with VR too. And VR, what it is today, I'm not a fan of. What it could be in 5 years or in 10 years could be freaking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
So they need to keep up with that.
True. I mean, for me, I don't like the direction. I know there's – we used to hear from other reviewers that, like, that the lifespan of the PS3 and the Xbox 360 was too long. I don't agree.
I 100% agree with them.
If
it hampered progress.
I also don't agree. I think the limitations gave us games that were amazing, where this short lifespan of this current cycle, if it ends in 2017, it would be the most disappointing console lifespan of any console I've ever owned.
I don't think so.
Oh, definitely.
Have you ever owned an N64 or a GameCube?
N64, which happens.
There's nothing revolutionary about those.
Today's the 20th anniversary of the N64 coming out. And you have games that people consider the best, some of the best games of their series ever to come out.
Like what?
Ocarina of Time for
maybe
Legend
of
Zelda.
But other than that.
GoldenEye, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Mm.
None of
what
these.
About the GameCube? That was disappointing.
I didn't own a GameCube. I'm not gonna
lie. I bought it day one, the day it was released. I remember I went down to Toys R Us on a Sunday and bought it along with X-Wing Rogue Squadron, Luigi's Castle, and something else. Fun. I'm not gonna lie. Not fun console, fun games, but nothing revolutionary. Let's be honest. The Wii U, anything revolutionary about it?
The Wii U has amazing games.
Anything revolutionary about
it? Why does it have to be revolutionary?
You can make those games on a Wii. You can make those games
on a PlayStation. You cannot make those games on a Wii. The Wii looks like ass.
There's some Wii U games that don't look that great either.
Yeah, but the majority, especially
nothing,
the best ones,
but,
look
yeah,
good.
Yeah, but there's nothing that stands out with the Wii U. The gamepad, big deal. It hasn't been used wisely by a majority of the games on the Wii U.
I don't think there were any games that used it well. But the thing I like about that controller is that I don't have to have the TV on. So
for some games,
Brandy can be watching the TV and I can be playing on the controller.
True. Some games you had to use it. You had to have the TV on. You couldn't use it.
Like what?
There were a few games that were like that. Couldn't use the control. You had to use a TV for Earthbound. Was it Earthbound? Yeah, Earthbound. I had to use a TV. Couldn't do any of the virtual console games.
What?
Right on.
No,
yeah.
You can. I've only played Earthbound
you could do
on
some.
The controller.
Yeah, no, you could do some. You're right, because I was doing. I remember playing the original Donkey Kong on it and Kid Icarus. Because
I remember when I was lazy and I just moved the Wii into the bedroom because the controller. Unbeknownst to me when I bought the system, the controller has a very limited range. So I just moved the whole console into the bedroom, not hooked up to a TV, and played some of the like longer RPGs that way, like Wind Waker.
I never played that game.
It's good.
Wii.
It's actually...
I have it. I just never played it.
It's good.
This was one of the free downloads I got. But
because
it
removed all the value for you.
I would say the Wii U is a major disappointment for a console.
I think sales wise it is. I think game wise it was really good.
It had some good games, but nothing that would be like then you can make that argument for the PS4 and the Xbox One too.
Not really. I mean,
yes,
what games?
Absolutely.
What games came out on those consoles that didn't come out on the consoles before them? Like, you have Uncharted 4.
Okay, and the same could be argued with the Wii U. What came out on that didn't come out before it? Mario Kart 8?
Mario Kart 8, which is awesome. Super Mario 3D World. New Super Mario U. Captain
Toads. Those games all came out on other consoles. I could play New Super Mario Brothers on my 3DS.
That's a different game, though. The levels are different.
You're arguing semantics here.
No.
And then you're trying to
saying that they're not.
Xbox One,
I'm saying Destiny is on PS3 and PS4 versus Yoshi's Woolly World is not on the Wii. It's only on the Wii U.
Yeah, because they couldn't develop it for the Wii because it was such an underdeveloped system.
Right.
And now look at what games like Destiny are doing. They're cutting off legacy support.
Yeah. And did you hear those numbers?
Yeah.
90% on the next gen console.
What do you mean?
They said only 10% is on PS3.
Yeah.
That's insane. I never thought it would be that high.
Yeah.
Considering our clan alone is 50-50.
And that's like half the last gen.
Technically
population.
More than 50-50 because I still go back and play on the PS3 to play with the guys.
Yeah. And so that's like less than half the generation. that's like half the users.
I think we have all of last generation in our clan.
But if you look at the sports games now, they're this console, they're this gen only, and they're not doing last gen anymore. And I'm calling Xbox 360 and PS3 last gen because they're. These consoles now are not next gen. They're current gen.
Yeah.
You know, Scorpio is next gen. Neo is next gen.
Mm-hmm.
These, the current gen. But you look at games that are just on this. You can't play Uncharted 4 on a PS3. Can you get the new Ratchet and Clank game on the PS3?
No.
Okay. You have Xbox One only games that were only developed. Forza Horizon 3, the Forza Horizon series is only on Xbox One. Gears of War 4 is only on Xbox One. So there's games now that are coming out, lots of them, where even Microsoft is like, I mean, Microsoft even said, time to move up to an Xbox One because they're not supporting the Xbox 360 anymore.
Yeah, except...
And I don't blame them.
I mean, but still sticking to our topic... That means that in the last year, they're trying to convince people to move up before next year or, what, a year and a half from now, the next console comes out.
And that'll be what?
Like
4 years since the last console? 4 or 5 years since the last console?
It'll be 4 years or it'll be 5 years.
5 years.
The day it comes out.
That's not bad.
That's
5 years
good.
For a generation console is not bad. I mean, we get fucking new iPhones every year, new iPads every year, new computers all the time.
Yeah.
How, you know.
But
what?
Consoles, to put it bluntly, consoles suck when they come out. Like, we get these announcements that they're going to do these amazing things, but they don't. Like, I bought a $500 Acer laptop, and it runs the current gen games at higher frame rates than my PS4 or my Xbox One. So, I mean, we're on like 2009 tech for our brand new consoles. The ones that come out in 2017 will be running on 2013 tech. It's not like you're, because of the price point they're putting it out at, you're just not going to get top of the line. Like computers will, PCs will always be ahead.
Every time a new iPhone comes out, it's outdated already the day it's released.
They always say that.
It's true.
But what else are you going to buy?
There's a lot of people buy Android phones.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. There's more Android phones out there than iPhone.
I know. I just don't know what they do. Because every time I have to check like usage on websites for any websites we do, iPhone is always so much higher on traffic flow.
Well,
I don't know.
I know lots of people who have Galaxies and they love them.
I know two. I know two people. I know two people without iPhones. My dad and mom have iPhones now.
My mother has an iPhone.
That's
granted,
crazy.
It's an old iPhone. It's an old iPhone,
but still. It's crazy. That
she doesn't need a new one for what she does. Calling, maybe texting. And that's it.
Actually get into that discussion with a lot of people lately of just the average person doesn't need more than an iPad.
Like yeah.
they
check email and they go on websites.
Yeah.
And
they go
videos.
On Amazon, they go on Facebook.
They don't need it. A lot of people don't. Yeah, you're right. But you can get a laptop cheaper than an iPad, so
true.
You know?
It's just then they have to call someone like you or me to fix it.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. Tech support, $18 an hour.
Uncle Danny.
Oh, yes. But yeah, I mean, I don't see a problem with console life going to 5 years anymore. I mean,
what
that's
if
just,
the price goes back up to $600 for the Project Scorpio?
Well, that's great. Then I probably won't be buying games buying a console anytime soon, which is a lie. I'll probably buy it. But
would you at that point consider getting a PC laptop since Xbox games are available on both.
Nope.
How come?
I like the ecosystem of Xbox One.
But isn't that ecosystem on the PC now?
I don't think it's the same, though.
I haven't used it. I strictly use Steam, so.
I don't. I do very little gaming on my Mac. I mean, I have Steam and I have a bunch of games, but I do little on my Mac. Hmm. Yeah. But I've got no problem with it. I mean, that's technology. And if you want to stay current, if you want to be at the lead now it means you got to cut life consoles. I mean,
I don't want it to be at the lead, honestly.
You don't like it.
I want more games.
You're being a Luddite about it is what you're being. You're not wanting the change, but it's inevitable.
No, I don't think the change is good enough to justify not having more development time for more games and better games. Because now that development cycle's up to like 2.5-3 years, sometimes, I mean, unless you're talking Sony, then 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah. It belongs on a PS3, Last Guardian. What?
Oh, it does, but I still want it so bad.
When I saw the trailer, I was just like,
I'm actually surprised. It looks very similar to the new Zelda game, as far as it has almost like that.
It looks exactly the same it did when they first announced it for the PS3.
It does.
That's sad.
I don't care. I want to play it. yeah, I mean, they're not giving people, the developers, enough time to create great experiences where even people say PS3 was out too long and Xbox 360, but we saw over that time huge jumps in what was accomplished in games. Where PS4, we got Uncharted 4, we're not going to get another game this cycle, most likely, from Naughty Dog.
Yeah, but Naughty Dog was always like that.
They put out 3 games before.
Yeah, but they had like 10 years to do it. They're not going to have 10 years
That's
to do it.
That's what I'm saying, why but I don't think there's a reason for this upgrade so
quickly.
But,
I mean, but if you think about it, if they're still putting out 3 games over 10 years on 2 different consoles, it's still the same thing. Their development time is still the same. It's just they don't have as many games per console. But it's still the same development time.
Right, so that sucks for the user.
You're stuck in the past about this.
No.
And you don't like the progress. You don't want to deal with it.
No.
Because it's going to cost money.
I want the games. I don't want to have to pay for a system that's a moderate upgrade when I'm using a $500 Acer that's better than the systems we have right now.
Then stick with PC gaming.
I don't want to. I want them to give me the games on a console.
You can't have everything you want.
Why not?
Because that's not life. And it will never be that way.
Way to shit my cereal.
Oh, it's reality. That's how it is. So, what else?
Obviously, since you re-listened to our E3 coverage, and you may have noticed that one of us was a little more negative than the other.
Me.
On everything.
I'll admit it, me.
We had some questions, especially from people I know that listen to the show. Ugh. Can you hear those boards?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Sorry.
They wanted to know if you even had a top 5 games of E3.
No. Gears of War 4.
For me, there was definitely Prey.
Nope.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nope.
The zombie game. Dead something or other.
Oh, that looks interesting. That looks interesting.
Sons of Anarchy in...
Yes, Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy in the apocalyptic future. Yep. Yeah, that looks interesting. I don't know if it's top 5, but... what else? I like Gears of War.
Dishonored 2.
Nope. Mass Effect 3 or 4.
Andromeda.
Yeah, Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm really looking forward to that game. I like the Mass Effect series. Mm-hmm. Some of the sports games. FIFA.
Were you? Because you were negative on.
No. I'm negative about is that stupid single player campaign bullshit. Forced me to play as a Manchester United player. Get the fuck out of here. There's no way that's happening. Fuck, Man U.
In the next Heavy Rain game.
Detroit.
Yes. Being Detroit, human.
Being human. Terrible name, but it looks interesting. I'm really interested in that game. Gears of War 4. You know what kind of looked interesting? I'm ashamed to admit. The new Call of Duty.
Didn't it look awesome? I was the only one who, after I heard the name, was still interested. Everybody else did that Call of Duty sigh of, oh, it's Call of Duty. Yeah, it looked fun as hell.
Because it looks fun, and then you're like, fuck, it's 4 hours later, and it's done.
Yeah, but I mean, the majority of people I know that play Call of Duty play for the multiplayer.
True. Which I haven't played multiplayer Call of Duty in years. Probably 6 years. Yep, 6 years. I can remember the last time I did Call of Duty multiplayer.
Yeah, so I found out on Twitter that I'm not supposed to like Call of Duty. I'm not a Call of Duty fan. I've actually never bought a game.
Last one I bought was Black Ops, the first one. That's not true. Well, no, it is true because I did play Ghosts on my Xbox One, but I traded somebody Battlefield 4 for it. So I didn't buy it. I traded. And that wasn't a bad game.
But I thought this trailer was friggin' awesome. The speed of the spaceships, going from zero G to regular G, the grappling hook. I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah. I'm just prepared to be disappointed by the campaign.
So I do have a fifth game for you.
All right, what's that?
That I will include because of the time frame in which it was announced.
What?
Rise of Iron.
Fuck yes!
For Destiny.
Yes. I am September 20th. I already took the day off of work.
You already pre-ordered.
I already pre-ordered it. So that way it'll be digitally downloaded, and come September 20th, I'll be able to play as soon as probably midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably be midnight West Coast time, so 3 a.m. our time. So I'll probably wake up in the morning the next day, and it's a Tuesday. The kids are in school again. The wife is at work, so it's me at home playing Rise of Iron all day.
Nice.
I am really looking forward to that. You know I love Iron Banner.
Mm-hmm.
I lots of my characters wear a lot of the Iron Banner armor. I participate in it. I get to rank 5 on all of my characters every time it's up, which those motherfuckers canceled it for this week because they were having issues. Hopefully they got it fixed and it comes back next week. And, it looks really cool and we can become an Iron Lord.
Yeah, which sounds awesome.
Totally digging it.
So for those of our listeners who don't know what Rise of Iron was, want to give them a little rundown?
No. Rise of Iron is another expansion, DLC, whatever you want to call it, that Bungie is putting out for Destiny. You basically are drafted by Lord Saladin, who at this point, the only time you ever see him is when Iron Banner's going on. He's the guy you go to get your bounties and everything else. He drafts you to go to the what do they call it? The not the Badlands, a part that takes place in the Cosmodrome, near the Cosmodrome. Mm-hmm. They're actually introducing a new space, and there are Fallen who are trying to unleash Siva, which is a type of disease, sort of. And you're trying to stop it because the Iron Lords had previously stopped it from spreading. They thought they contained it, and now it's been opened, and you're trying to retake Felwinter's Peak. Fell Winter Peak, and you know, bring glory back to the Iron Lords and try to become an Iron Lord as well. It looks very cool. They're introducing a new social space, which is kind of cool that you actually have to take over Fellwinter Peak beforehand.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then once you take it over, it becomes a social space. And then you can become an Iron Lord. They're introducing new weapons, new armor, a new raid as well, which a lot of people have been clamoring for. And some new Crucible game modes and maps as well. So that's going to be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's $39.99, right? $40?
Yeah.
Is it 40 or is it 30?
Oh, wait a minute.
It's $30.
It's $29.99.
$29.99, which is pretty good for everything you're getting. And they're saying it's not quite Taken King, but bigger than House of Wolves and The Dark Below combined. So it's bigger than that.
Cool.
So I am definitely looking forward to that.
I'll be pre-ordering so close. That as well.
Yeah, you pre-order it, you get the Iron Gjallarhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get the other Gjallarhorn by doing a quest, which apparently is going to be a difficult quest. But once you complete that, you'll be able to get a Gjallarhorn. I am so close to my hunter being 335. He's 334. The only thing I'm missing is the helmet. My helmet is at 333, so I need a 335. I was hoping to get it during Iron Banner this week. It's all I need. Once I got that, he's at 335. And then my other two characters right now are both at 331. So, yep.
Nice.
I'd like to get them maxed out before it starts because there's going to be an increase in light level as well.
Oh, yeah, so. 350.
Well, we don't know. They said a significant increase, so we'll see what a significant increase is.
Oh, okay.
Some are speculating 400.
That'd be cool.
Yep. That means you're going to have to grind.
I won't.
You're still at, like, what, 320-something?
Yeah, 324.
324? Savage. But, yeah, that's Rise of Iron.
So, what else have you been playing in our hiatus besides Destiny?
Uncharted 4. While we were gone, I did play Uncharted 4. Have not finished it.
How far did you get?
I got to where you go to the volcano.
Okay. So
where you drive the Jeep.
Okay. So something like chapter 14 or...
Yeah, about halfway through, is it, or so?
I think a little more than half, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Got there. Not impressed with it.
What about this game is not compared to the other games in the series?
I think there's more running and jumping in this game, climbing, than in the other games combined. I swear to God.
I think that's like, probably true.
It's like the first two levels. That's all you do when you're escaping, when you're a kid and escaping from the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all he does. And it gets so boring doing that. So boring. Looks great. Beautiful looking. I'm not going to lie. They did a great job with its looks. Really like it. Just not having fun with it. I also picked up Quantum Break.
Mm-hmm.
But haven't played that yet. It's sitting in my to-play pile.
Well, I also played Uncharted 4. And I'm the opposite of you, obviously.
Of course you are. You're a Sony shill.
Yep. How did you know?
Because
that's how I make all this money. I loved it. I think Uncharted 2 is still my favorite.
Uncharted 2 is still the best.
And I don't want to do any spoilers in this, but I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed all the climbing. The climbing system in this and just watching how like smoothly he moves compared to the other games, I really enjoyed.
It's like they took a play out of Assassin's Creed.
I've never finished an Assassin's Creed game.
I've finished many of them. Not the recent ones, but all like 1, 2, Brotherhood, 3, all those.
I played about an hour of 1, and I didn't like it. I played a few hours of 2, and I had a hard drive die, and I never went back to that game.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, it's beautiful. I really enjoyed the whole game, really. There wasn't a... I mean, I even had two different people basically watching me play the game, and they were enjoying just watching it. All the little quips, all the... Even when you're climbing around, when, you know, so often things break, and he has to, like, find a new way and things like that. They were just enjoying the whole thing.
There was a couple times where that would happen and I'd start cursing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I have to climb more. He's like, oh, because, you know, he's like hanging there. He's like, oh, got to find another way. I'm like, son of a bitch. We're doing this for 5 minutes. Can we just end this shit?
Yeah. Do you think you're going to finish this game?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think if there's no Trials of Osiris this weekend, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make some progress into it.
Gotcha.
We'll see.
Have you been four-wheeling yet with the Jeep?
Well, I've been driving around with it and shit.
Okay.
Like where you have to visit those like little outposts.
Stations, yeah.
Yeah, stations. Yeah, I've been doing that.
That was the most realistic four-wheel driving I've ever seen. Like using a winch and then having to drive up was something I was not expecting, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't.
What else have you been playing?
Bunch of mobile games, but console-wise, Halo Wars 2, the beta. I played the beta. We actually played it together.
Yep. Did you play more than that one night?
Yeah, I did a little bit. Thank God it comes out next year.
Why is that?
I thought it's a little rough. I mean, yes, I know it's a beta, and it's only June, and it's not scheduled to come out until February of next year. But it was a bit rough around the edges, I thought. Mm-hmm. I think there's some things that they could do a better job of making more prominent. I mean, it's an RTS, and I love RTSs. But I thought the original Halo Wars felt a bit more polished. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of hoping they would take some of the mechanics of that and just directly import it into this game. But I don't, like I said, I mean, it's still 7-8 months away. Mm-hmm. So they've got time to fix it up. I'm definitely going to play it when it comes out because I love the first Halo Wars. Mm-hmm. And I like that you can have, like, we were able to play against two other people.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. But, you know, the game went on longer than I wanted it to.
That was so long. It was ridiculous.
And I think if you introduce mechanics like you have one of the planes, why can't it fly around and you can scout that way? So you could see if they're still building a goddamn base, which apparently they did. Mm-hmm. And so they dragged it out by doing that. I mean, we crushed them.
We did crush them, but it took us like an hour.
Yeah.
Actually, there were some bugs, though, that were driving me crazy. That you couldn't see the red dot of where the enemy was.
You're like, well, the enemy's there. I'm like, where? You're like, the red dot. I'm like, I see no red dot anywhere on the map.
Yeah, that was driving me insane.
You're like, it's right there near the base. I'm like, there's no dots near any base for me. There's no red dots.
Yeah, I mean, I did not really play the first one much. And this beta didn't work well for me because I've been recently playing the StarCraft 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted a mouse and I wanted to be able to be more strategic as far as selecting a specific unit, having them hit a certain area or patrol a certain area. I just felt limited. And while I think it's a really good try to make it accessible on a console, I would so much rather just hook up a keyboard and mouse and just play that way.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun, but I had no issues playing on the Xbox 360 with a controller. Mm-hmm. So,
did that allow you, like, better navigation? Like, could you select a certain type of unit and send them in a different direction than the whole rest of the group and manage to have them, like, meet at the same time?
What do you mean? I'm not following.
So, I mean, basically, my tactic towards the end of this game was just select everyone and send them in a direction. Versus in StarCraft, I will have different units with different abilities come from different angles and attack in a much more strategic method.
Yeah, I mean, you had the ability. I thought it was nice how you could choose the different units to send them different ways and then kind of convene in one spot. You could definitely do that in the first Halo Wars.
Okay. I didn't feel like I was figuring out how to do it in this one. The quick navigation with the D-pad helped a lot as far as you could. I think it was left and right let you cycle through the base views and up and down let you cycle through unit views. But a lot of the time I just got disoriented as to where I am on the map when we're trying to organize a large strike. So, I mean, for a beta, I thought it was pretty good. It just took a really long time and was kind of late when we started.
Yeah, it did take a long time. Yep.
So. I played Ratchet and Clank on PS4. And that game's great. I know you don't like Ratchet and Clank games, but this one is a retelling of the movie, which is a retelling of the first game. Which, so in the first game, you're just playing the game. In the movie, Quark is telling you about the first game, the adventures that happen. And that's what's happening in this game. So you do have a Captain Quark as a narrator, and he'll be telling you things like when you die, he'll be like, and he knew obviously to come up for air. So it's got like the little Ratchet and Clank humor in there. The weapons are the real reason to play the game. There's so many weapons and they're so good. Like, Sheepinator turns people into sheep. Mr. Zarkon is a little robot that flies next to you and attacks for you. And if you level him up enough, he has a kid that also spawns called Zarkon Jr.
Okay.
And then...
Zarkon. Why does that name sound familiar? Voltron?
Do you remember that? What was the name of it? It was a Hulk Hogan movie where
I don't remember.
You don't remember any of them?
No.
You're a liar.
Hulk Hogan movie?
Yeah.
No, I can't say that I recall any.
A bunch of movies.
I can't say that I recall watching them.
The lies.
No, true.
There's one movie where he plays a basically an alien who crash lands on Earth, and at one point he's a babysitter for kids or something, and he ends up at an arcade that happens to have the same bad guy's name as who he's fighting, which I think might have been Zarkon, and the arcade machine ends up surrendering to him. It was very 80s. But okay. It was probably in the 90s, but it was very 80s. But I mean, there's the Groovinator, which becomes Groovatron, which becomes a Groovabomb, which you throw at this disco ball, and all the enemies start dancing. And you can use a Pixelator, which when you shoot them, turns them into pixels. And if you shoot them enough where they die, the pixels just crumble, kind of like the style of that Adam Sandler movie, which I think was called Pixels as well.
Yeah, never saw it.
Graphically, it's cool. Like, those posters that they made for it and just watch the trailer. you don't really need to watch the movie.
Hmm.
But yeah, Ratchet and Clank came out for $40. It's got to be like a 14-hour game. It's got all the weapons from Ratchet and Clank, and it's so worth it. If you've never played one, I highly suggest it. If you've played them, you probably already bought it. But if you're waiting, don't wait. Just go play it.
Cool.
And another game that I've been playing on my laptop is Enter the Gungeon. And actually, I have this on PS4 as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a roguelike bullet hell game. So essentially this huge bullet came and destroyed a castle. And now this entire castle is occupied by living bullets that use mm-hmm. guns to shoot at you. So you can play as one of four characters. Each one have different perks, at least to start off. And your options are to shoot or to do a dodge roll, which this game is actually made by a studio called Dodge Roll. So In the beginning of your dodge, you're actually invulnerable. So it's kind of a way to get you out of some of the smaller attacks.
Right.
And then you also have a bomb that you can set off that removes all the bullets from the screen. So it's like if you're fucked, use that and it'll remove all the bullets.
Okay.
It is, like I said, it's a roguelike, so you play until you die. You'll unlock levels to let you get to deeper levels faster. There's a random spawn of guns. The level design is random, and it is addictively fun, especially if you like bullet hell games, because you're just dodging all these different bullets, all these different patterns, and each enemy has a different pattern, but you're getting different types of guns. So it's not like even playing the same boss is always the same, because you have different abilities with each gun.
Right.
I think it's $14.99. Right now is the Steam, what is it called? The Steam Summer Picnic Sale. Which is, I think, taking a dollar off. It's probably like $13.99 or something like that. But if you somehow have a PC and don't know what Steam is, or Mac, check out 8-Bit Soul's article on how to survive a Steam sale. It's actually on our homepage. Just scroll down a little bit. And will guide you through what a Steam sale is, because Steam is your, basically it's a game store on Mac and PC. You get amazing deals, and anytime there's a sale, you could easily spend $20 getting 40 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly suggest Enter the Gungeon. Even if you suck at bullet hell games or you don't like roguelikes, I suggest just going on Twitch and watch someone play at least one level, and you'll at least enjoy watching it get done, because the art direction is great. It's like an 8-bit kind of style, and it's got humor in the way that they've designed things.
Well, that's cool. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's great. So have you been playing anything else?
Not really.
How about on the comic side of things?
Yeah, since we stopped that little break there,
yep.
I got lazy and I got so far behind. I am starting to catch up though. I've read some of the Rebirth stuff, mm-hmm. which is DC's big new relaunch. I've read some of that.
Well, we haven't talked about Rebirth.
Nope.
So let's talk about the the actual DC Rebirth title like that.
Rebirth itself? Yes. Okay, the one shot. It was terrible.
Terrible?
It was terrible.
Terrible.
It was terrible. It was not very good. I know a lot of people gushed over it and loved it. I did not. Did not like it at all.
Normally, I like to play the devil's advocate with you, but I am in the same boat. I thought this was
not
50% of the pages were. It was just too long.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about the reveal.
100%. 100% agreed.
Yeah. It was like, I mean, we're past the spoiler realm now, so we can say that this was the announcement that the Watchmen are part of DC, and they're And they're using Dr. Manhattan as
manipulating time.
Yeah, changing the universe again. So they use the Flash as kind of the guide throughout this comic to try to meet other people throughout the different worlds and try to get them to remember him as a way to reforge what the reality used to be.
Right.
And I did not care. The only thing that threw me off in the very beginning was because it was the Flash, I thought they were going too Flash-centric and they were going to use Zoom somehow to be the hand sticking out of the lightning bolt on the cover. But probably about 20 pages in, I was like, it's got to be somebody else. And not knowing that Watchmen wasn't part of DC, I just assumed it was going to be Dr. Manhattan. And then I got to the end, I didn't realize why that was supposed to be shocking. Because I thought the whole thing of Watchmen was that it happened in DC Universe just a long time ago. And I really just wasn't thinking about it. Because I've read the comic and I've watched the movie, and I don't care.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. I didn't like the using the Watchmen as the manipulators of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
It felt cheap to me. I wasn't a big fan of a lot of New 52. So it's kind of nice to go back to what it was beforehand. But yeah, not all that impressed. And I got to admit, I read Rebirth Batman number one and then the new issue number one of Batman that launched again.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that impressed either. Kind of, eh. Wonder Woman surprised me. I like Greg Rucka though, so... I've never read a Wonder Woman comic before.
Oh, never?
Nope. Like an ongoing comic of Wonder Woman? Never.
Hmm.
So that was my first time. I enjoyed it. I'm going to check out some more. I have Green Lanterns sitting there. I haven't read it yet. But I've got a bunch of stuff there. But yeah. Not blown over by it so far. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Still early into it, but I'm not blown over with it.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I read Rebirth, but I haven't read pretty much anything else since we did our hiatus. I'm going to jump back on board starting with this Wednesday's comics that came out yesterday. So I don't really have too much to talk about as far as comics go. I also didn't watch TV anymore. Once we took the hiatus, I bounced out on TV altogether. And I realized I did not miss Arrow at all.
Did you finish Arrow?
No.
You didn't finish it? Really?
No.
Wow, did you finish The Flash?
I just finished The Flash last night.
Wow.
Yeah, and it turns out I did miss The Flash. and I thought it was pretty good. I thought it, actually, I enjoyed it. But yeah, I didn't catch up on Arrow. I watched Archer instead of Arrow. I caught up on that. And I'm saving, I really need to catch up on Game of Thrones. So I'm now four episodes behind, and dodging spoilers is getting difficult.
Yeah, you really need to.
Yep.
Really need to. But, I finished all of the network shows. Finally finished Daredevil season two. Luke Cage starts. Oh, really?
You finally finished? Yep. What did you think of Daredevil?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to the Punisher series when that comes out. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage is next month, so that's cool. Iron Fist is still filming. Should be close to done soon. So really looking forward to that. We got the Defenders coming up after that as well. I thought it was really cool.
I loved Daredevil at season two. I actually liked season two better than season one.
Nah, I didn't, but it was still really good. Mm-hmm. I thought Elektra brought it down a little bit, but that's just me. I still thought it was a great show. Really liked it.
Yeah, for me it was definitely the highlight so far. I'm really excited for Luke Cage. That was a character I didn't know pretty much anything about, really, other than his outfit and mm-hmm. his little involvement in Civil War, the original Civil War. But that new comic, the Iron Fist and – or Luke Cage and
Power Man and Iron Fist?
Yeah, that one.
Power Man and Iron Fist, yeah.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I need to catch up on that, too, because I haven't read –
Yeah, it's really good.
But, yeah, the first couple that I read were awesome, and I'm definitely going to keep going on that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that actually has me excited for the Iron Fist show as well, which I had no interest in. You were all excited, but I really had no interest in it.
Yeah, there's rumors recently that Netflix is going to announce Ghost Rider, Blade, and Moon Knight for Netflix. Which, kind of cool. Out of the three, I think I'd look forward to Moon Knight the most.
Oh, for me, it's Blade. Those first two movies were awesome, but it depends on who plays them.
Did you ever watch the Blade TV show?
The one with, who was playing him? Ghostface?
One of the rappers from one of the bands, yeah. It wasn't bad, it was pretty good.
I never got a chance to see that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of Marvel shows coming out. We have on Freeform, we're going to have Cloak and Dagger, which has piqued my curiosity, even though it's on Freeform.
Is Cloak and Dagger the male and female?
Yes. Okay. The
team?
Yeah, the black guy and the white girl. They're orphans.
They show up every once in a while in the larger crossovers, but I've never read one of their comics. I've never seen one of their...
Yeah, no, they had a series, Cloak and Dagger. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of piqued my curiosity. A number of, shows were passed over that they did not pick up, like the spinoff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Was not... They passed on that. They passed on... Agent Carter season 3 that was canceled. The Netflix stuff is still rolling along pretty good. Really like it. Mm-hmm. Really like it.
Well, during our hiatus, we had a shit ton of Marvel and DC movies come out. Well, not a shit ton, but like four?
Two. Well, four.
We had Captain America, Civil War.
Civil War, which is really good. Yeah. Oh, and then you had the X-Men movie.
Yeah, we had
X-Men Apocalypse, which I haven't seen.
I also haven't seen. And we also had Batman v Superman.
Was that one after we went on hiatus? I think that came out beforehand.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't remember the release date.
Suicide Squad comes out, what, July or August?
I don't have any interest.
Oh, I have an interest in that. That and Doctor Strange in November.
Doctor Strange, I can't wait for. I hope that's as good as I hope.
Yes, I'm really...
Poor English, but I don't care. I just Cumberbatch, hope it's good.
Bitch. Yes, I'm so looking forward to Doctor Strange. Luke Cage, like I said, on Netflix, that comes out in September, September 30th. So that's pretty good. Have you watched Voltron at all?
I did, actually.
I watched the first episode, which I gather is, what, two episodes in one?
I think so.
Because it was an hour long.
Mm-hmm. I watched the same.
I liked it.
So did I. I was actually, in the beginning, I was like, I don't remember any of this.
A lot of these guys actually pretty ties into the original Voltron.
Yeah, once they got to the castle, I was like, wait a minute. I actually remember the design of these characters, and these guys actually look like the old stuff.
Yeah, some of the stuff is different, but a lot of it was definitely tied back to the original. And even the mice, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yep.
I was a little disappointed
with the shape of their mouth. They're like all square. No, the... On the actual Voltron monster.
I really liked the blue lion. Mm-hmm. That was the first one they got into. I thought they did it. I thought he looked really cool.
Oh, I think they look cool. I just wanted like the mouth that when you had the toy, it just grasped a sword so well.
Oh.
Where now they're all flattened out. I was like, I guess that makes more sense.
I thought the orange tiger, right? Or yellow tiger? What was it?
Yellow.
Yellow tiger, his mouth was a little strange. Mm-hmm. Kind of had like the underbite going on with the teeth exposed. I thought that was a little strange, but I dug it.
I was surprised. I thought it was really good.
So was I. So I think I'm going to have to finish that series. Definitely before next week because Marco Polo comes back. Season 2 comes out next week.
I still never saw the first one.
Oh, you're missing a great show. A great show.
So. I can only watch so many dramas.
You should watch it. It's really good. I like it a lot.
I'll definitely at least check out the first episode.
Yeah, I would if I were you.
You know what they're filming that I can't wait for? You ever read Neil Gaiman's American Gods?
Yep. They've released some pictures already.
Yeah. They cast a bunch of characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're like halfway through filming already.
Yeah. Shadow Moon is a guy from The 100, which is a show I've never watched, but I've been told I should.
On the CW?
Yep. And that guy is jacked. I was like, holy shit, who is this guy? In my head, Shadow Moon was a bit more docile of a guy. Like, he reminds me of my friend Jeff Lomany, who's 6'2", 300 pounds, but he's not cut. He's just massive. Mm-hmm. He's strong, but he's not like, you know, poster quality.
Right.
And that's kind of where what I had in my head. So when I saw him at first, I was like, that's not him. And then I was like, maybe it could work because I was just projecting. But I think I really enjoyed the book, even though it's not my typical kind of book. And then who's the guy? Who did Phonogram, the comic book?
I don't remember.
I know they're British. McKelvey? I forget. Anyways, there's a comic book called Phonogram that takes the concept of American Gods and applies it to British music. So... Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't know, in American Gods, the concept is that religions and deities exist as physical beings, and their power is derived from belief systems. So the same kind of concept applies to genres of music exist as humans, and their power is derived from their fan base. So I think it worked for both, and I'm pretty interested to see it as a TV show.
Yeah.
Who's playing Thor? Not Thor, Odin.
In what?
In American Gods.
Thor movie? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, me neither.
I know Ian McShane is in it, and oh, I love him as an actor.
Who's he?
He was in Deadwood. He played.
Is he the older guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
And he was actually in an episode of Game of Thrones.
Damn you!
Now you have to watch.
I do.
Yes, you do. But yeah, lots of good stuff out there.
Yep.
Lots of good stuff. Absolutely.
Cool. Any closing thoughts for you?
Yes. Actually, no. I'm not going to get political. So, no.
Okay. My closing thought is, if you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to Nick Offerman's audiobook, Paddle Your Own Canoe.
Or just read it.
No, he reads it to you.
Yeah,
it's so much better. All right. That's it?
That's it? We're out. So we done?
Yeah.
Jawohl. All right. Well, I guess we are done. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher, and don't forget to subscribe on there. And if you already do, thank you. We greatly appreciate it. Before we go, though, let's just plug some of our sites. Head over to our website, 8bitsoul.com. Check out our Destiny-centric site at destiny.8bitsoul. Find us on Twitter. Follow us there. Our Twitter handle is at 8bytes. That's 8, B-I-T-E-S. D's is at Marchione, M-A-R-C-H-I-O-N-E. Yeah, long, I know. And mine is at Juventus, J-U-V-E-N-T-U-Z. You can also find our Destiny feed at 8bytes Destiny. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, all that good shit. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. We will see everybody next time. So we bid adieu and thank you. Say goodbye, D.
Goodbye.
Peace.